Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Los Angeles County, just a couple of months ago, was in a terrible place with COVID-19 hospitalizations and intensive care units that were filled. Here we are now with LA County poised starting tomorrow to move into the yellow tier of significantly loosened restrictions on all kinds of businesses and public gatherings. Other cities like Pasadena actually making the move today. This after the state of California yesterday allowed those cities and counties that had for a week had these low rates of COVID-19 to move into what is the least restrictive tier before we move out of restrictions entirely. That would be the next step beyond yellow. Joining us to talk about where we are in this very good news, not just in LA County, but throughout California, is UCLA School of Public Health professor and epidemiologist Dr. Timothy Brewer. Dr. Brewer, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing great. And isn't this wonderful to take a look at how the state is doing right now?
It's really terrific. And I think everybody is to be congratulated both for stepping up and getting vaccinated. So we've got about 40% of the California population has been vaccinated. Obviously, we want to get that higher, but terrific so far. And the fact that people have been still maintaining to doing the public health measures like the physical distancing, wearing their mask indoors, things like that.
Do you have any concerns about, you know, restaurants moving to 50% indoor capacity and bars being able to have indoor patrons, albeit in small numbers, and other gatherings, you know, being able to increase the size of attendance? Or do you feel like the evidence is pretty clear for the longer term trend?
So we're getting increasing evidence that these vaccines actually prevent infection as well as disease. So there's a study published by the CDC of healthcare workers across 8 states with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, both demonstrating, while not 100% effective, they did in fact prevent both infection and asymptomatic disease, and then probably interrupting transmission. Also data from Israel with the Pfizer vaccine, and then some data with Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. So I think as people continue to get vaccinated, it makes sense to ease up on some of the restrictions.
Do you want to mention that other Southern California counties like Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Ventura are still among 39 California counties in the orange tier? So just to make that clear, we're talking about Los Angeles County, oddly enough, which had typically been much worse than its neighboring counties in the cases of COVID-19. And perhaps that's related. Dr. Brewer, we should talk about that. Is perhaps this part of the fact that L.A. was in such a bad place a couple months ago?
That's exactly right. So while we don't know for certain, what we know is that California experienced two large surges. The first was in the spring, summer of last year, and then basically after Thanksgiving through about the middle of January. And the CDC estimates that about 20% of the California population was infected and probably has immunity to COVID-19. When you add the 40% vaccination, that means we're looking at about 60% of the population in LA County, which was very hard hit, particularly in January, maybe potentially having immunity to this virus. And that's likely contributing to the low numbers because we have fewer susceptible individuals.
President Biden yesterday set two new goals for the 4th of July, getting 70% of U.S. adults to receive at least one dose of a COVID vaccine and having 160 million adults fully vaccinated by July 4th. Are we on track to be able to do that, Dr. Brewer?
Well, I think the concerning issue, Larry, is the interest in vaccinations is falling off. So in mid-April, we were vaccinating nationally about 3.4 million people a day. And according to the CDC right now, we're vaccinating about 2.2 million people a day. So it's a big, about 35% decline. So somehow we need to continue to reach out to people who have not been vaccinated, try to address their concerns, and find ways to encourage them to become vaccinated.
866-893-KPECC for your questions for Dr. Brewer, UCLA School of Public Health. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Is there anything that you're going to be watching for as the county releases its yellow tier order today, case or infection numbers? And if we start to see an uptick, not even a full-on surge, but just an uptick in numbers, do you think the county will need to consider rescinding some of these easings and openings?
Well, we're clearly not out of this pandemic, and so it will be important to look at some of the parameters they've been following, like number of new cases a day and the test positive rates. So, for example, right now we're running at less than 1% testing positive, meaning everybody who goes out and gets tested, and we're averaging about 60 to 65,000 tests a day, less than 1% have the SARS-CoV-2 virus. If that starts rising, then that's an early signal that there is more transmission going on, and that would be concerning.
All right, 866-893-KPECC. Joaquin writes on the page, regarding the Indian variant, I hope Pfizer and Moderna are already developing boosters and that the approval process would take weeks, not months. We need booster shots in arms by the fall. Dr. Brewer, what's your sense of the potential threat of the Indian variant here in the U.S.?
So the Indian variant, or what's known as B.1.617, has some changes in it that are already present in other variants. The big variant, to be honest, of concern right now is the one that's called the UK variant, or the B.1.1.17. That's actually accounting for about 60% of all cases of COVID-19 in the United States right now. The India variant does have two changes in it that may make it a little more likely to be transmissible and a little less likely to be neutralized by antibodies. But it's called a variant of interest, which is a tier below the CDC variant of concern. So I don't think it's going to be as big an issue as some of the other variants we're currently dealing with.
We do have the first documented case of the Indian variant in a COVID patient in Southern California, this in San Diego County. This was a young woman in her 20s, no other medical problems, who returned to San Diego from India in late March, and then she was hospitalized in early April, the patient with that case from India. And I'm sorry, I've forgotten now. Is there a travel ban from India that has gone into effect now? Do you know, Dr. Brewer? I remember it was going to be implemented.
I don't know, actually. I can look it up while
we're talking. Yeah, we'll look that up.
I'm not sure.
All right, 866-893-KPECC. Lauren in Hollywood says, I have an 18-year-old son who's in college. He received his first Pfizer shot several weeks ago, and then he contracted COVID. His symptoms were stable. His isolation ends Thursday. He's supposed to get his second Pfizer shot on Friday. But since his immunity is still building up, I'm wondering if it's recommended to postpone his second shot or even to get the second shot at all. That's from Lauren in Hollywood. Dr. Brewer?
So the best thing would be for her son to talk with his healthcare provider as to when the timing of the second shot should occur. We are recommending that people still go ahead and get second shots after they have recovered from COVID-19. There are data to show that people who have been infected with 19 get very good responses even to one dose of either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. But the recommendation is to still to go ahead and get that second dose.
All right, 866-893-KPECC if you have a question for Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer, also wanted to ask you about the potential for COVID-19 to affect the brain. There has been a recent study, the LA Times, writing about this today, that there are two types of brain cells, neurons and astrocytes, that can be infected by COVID-19, and this might be shedding light on some of the neurological symptoms that people have, brain fog, for example, memory lapses, fatigue, kind of sluggish, fuzzy feeling that falls under that umbrella term of brain fog. What do you think about this?
So astrocytes and neurons do express the ACE2 receptors. So those are the receptors on cells, and they're found in many different cell types in the body that allow the SARS-CoV-2 virus to bind and get into the cell. What you have to remember is the brain is protected by what's called the blood-brain barrier. So in general, bacteria and viruses have a harder time getting into the brain than other parts of the body. No good evidence so far to suggest that in the body, the astrocytes and the neurons are infected by SARS-CoV-2 virus. The study you're referring to was done in a laboratory.
All right. And also want to update on that travel ban. It affects non-U.S. citizens or permanent residents coming from India. This went into effect, or it goes into effect this week. It does not again apply to U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents or other people with exemptions still allowed to travel from India to the U.S. Anyone arriving in the U.S. is still subject to coronavirus testing and must enter quarantine if they have not been vaccinated. The travel ban imposed on the advice of the CDC, that according to White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Thank you so much, Dr. Brewer. As always, we really appreciate your being with us today on Air Talk.
Thank you very much for having me, Larry.
It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Stay tuned. Coming up on Air Talk, we're going to be taking a look at what happens with openness about finances when it comes to generations. Are millennials truly more open about their finances? That's what surveys indicate. I want to hear from you. Do you see generational differences in openness or stances on privacy when it comes to income? How does it play out among your friends and family? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.